Exodus 1, and we'll read from verse 1 to 11. Exodus 1, 1 to 11. Now these are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. They came each one with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. All the persons who came from the loins of Jacob were 70 in number, but Joseph was already in Egypt. Joseph died and all his brothers in all that generation. But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply in the event of war. They will also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land." And verse 11, so they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor, and they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramses. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning, Lord, and we just want to open our hearts to you, Father, and our spirits. And God, we just give you permission, God, to do whatever it is that you want to do in us this morning. Father, help us to be encouraged with your word, but also to gain the perspective of heaven, Lord, especially when it pertains to the scriptures and how we must live, God, in this world. And so, God, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's been a while since I've done an EMP, I feel like. The last time I actually preached on Exodus 1 as well. But this time I felt like God was taking me a totally different direction. I was going to do Exodus 2, but I felt like there was something else that God was speaking. And really last time what I was really talking about was this idea of the book of Exodus, why it was important, what the main story of it, of Exodus, really talks about. And really, it really Exodus speaks to the idea of God chooses his people, he becomes their God, provides for them, but yet there's so much that they have to go through, and a lot of it is God revealing himself to both the nations and Israel themselves. And we asked the question last time, if God was Israel's God, and if he was a good God, why did he take so long to deliver them? And I kind of answered that last time. But this time, as I was kind of going through the text, especially when it came to verse 11, the idea of, Israel was appointed taskmasters over them, and they were afflicted with hard labor and all these sort of things, a second question came to mind. Right? Last time, it was, why did it take so long for God to deliver them? This time, it's, why did God allow for the situation in Israel to become so dire? Right? And really, the reality is, and I should probably just going to go into the text and we'll get to it. So we'll kind of do this. So in chapter 1, what's really happening is Moses was laying out the history in which Israel became or came into this situation, right? And if we remember, if we look back into Genesis, the end of Genesis was Joseph being raised up, becoming the right-hand man of Pharaoh, and then him bringing his entire family into Egypt so that they could be saved from the famine, and so the rest of Israel really could be saved from the famine, so they would not perish. And now, what's basically happened is, although God led them into this situation, 300 years later, when the old Pharaoh dies, the new one comes up, what ends up happening is the people of Egypt, Israel, get afflicted with slavery, they get afflicted with hard labor, they get afflicted with difficult work, and now we're left with the question, I'm sure if I was an Israelite, I'd be left with the question, is why so dire? What is going on? Now, what I find very interesting with a text like this is this is very easily applicable to us as Christians, right? Don't we oftentimes pray to God, Lord, lead us. Sorry, getting a little warm. Right? Don't we oftentimes pray, God, lead us, and he seems to give us a direction, and he leads us into something, And it's good for us. We see that it helps us. It saves us from something. But eventually, it brings us to our situation changes from good into a point where we realize, wait a second, God, it's getting really tough right now. There's a situation in which I followed you into, and it was good for me, but now I've entered into this space, even though I followed you, and I don't know what's going on. It's becoming more dire. I feel like, did I hear wrong? Did I listen to you incorrectly? You know, was there something that I did wrong? Why is it all of a sudden, it seems like I followed you into, you know, hell, right? Rather than the goodness that you originally put me into. Now, for Israel, it was an interesting situation. And this is easily answered for us last time I was talking about, because from the perspective of God, the reason why God allowed for these things to happen to Israel was mercy. Right? Remember, we talked about from God's perspective, there was a mission of God that was being enacted through Israel. And because of mercy, he allowed for this to happen to Israel so that, why? So that it would give Egypt time to repent. It would give other nations around them time to repent. And so God took so long so that he would not have to judge these nations and destroy them. Now, this time, I feel like God's speaking to us more on a personal level, right? Why does God allow for these things to happen to us and get so dire to us? Yes, for other people, it's great, right? Last time I was encouraging us, stay strong because God is doing something around us. This time, I feel like God is saying, stay strong, because like Israel, when we're led into these situations, God is actually doing something in us, right? Why does God allow for these situations to become so difficult? It's because he's speaking to us. He's doing and processing something in our hearts, in our spirits, in our lives, so that we will realize some things. And what are these things? And, you know, when I was praying, I felt like there was a number of these things. And the first thing is this. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's the idea of, remember in Deuteronomy, Moses writes about Israel's history, about moving through the desert. And he says this. He says, God led you through the desert those 40 years. He was testing you. He allowed you to be hungry and he fed you. He led you to walk through the desert, and he did not allow for your clothes to break. And he did it so he could test you to know what was in your heart. But the reality is, when we read that, the question comes up, does God need to test us to know what's in our heart? The answer is no, right? God is omnipotent, right? He's omniscient. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And so the reason why God tests us is not so much so that he can know what's in our hearts, it's so that we can know what's in our hearts, right? It's in these situations when we're put in the pressure cooker, that we can, it's only in those times that we can realize who we really are on the inside, right? When things are going well, it's easy to praise God, right? When we feel like we hear God, you know, what should we do? And, you know, he says, yeah, go into this place, and we do it, and it's really good for us. We said, oh, praise God, you are so good. You are with me. But when things get difficult, that's when the reality of who we are on the inside starts coming out, right? God, why did you lead me into this place? Or, you know, did I hear all these sort of things? And so why does God allow things to get so dire? It's because he's really allowing for you know what it is, really? He's allowing us to suffer a little bit so that he can bring out the reality of our character. And you know, for me personally, every time God's done this, you know, I hate to say it, but the reality is he's really let me see the ugliness in my own heart, right? Every time he's allowed me to go through these situations, what God was really doing in me, right? God, why did you let it get so dire? Why is this so difficult? Or why did the pressure amount so greatly to the point where sometimes I acted in anger, all these sort of things. And the reality was God was saying, I wanted you to know this is who you are. And for me, you know, one of the things I really struggle with is, you know, for me, it's pride. And I always think, I'm good, right? I'm with God. It's easy, right? The first thing I always think is, God and I, we're good. We're like this, right? You know, I rely on God, for sure. And then when those situations come out, you know why I act out? It's because I'm not really relying on God, right? I'm relying on myself. And what God's showing me is, Ricky, there's more to your character that needs to be processed. There's more to who you are that I need to sift through and to get through. And so why does God allow things to get so dire in our lives? Is God needs to show us there's something in us that he needs to mold. He needs to continue to work in, right? Similar to the Israelites, why did God allow it to get so dire? God allowed the situation to become so difficult. One, it was to reveal to them their hearts when God was finally coming. But more importantly, he was staging something. He was creating this space in which unless he showed up, nothing could happen. And so this is the second thing I came up with. And I realized when I was praying this through is the first thing God reveals when we go through difficult situations so that he reveals the heart. And then the second thing is so that he can get the glory in removing us, in delivering us, in doing what he does best, which is to be our deliverer. Right? Isn't that true? Right? Situations happen. God, what's going on? We fret, we freak out, and then we pray, right? Let me take a step back. The second thing God does is, you know, before he delivers us, and one of the reasons why I really, you know, I think that God does these things is he wants to cultivate a desperation in us, right? The more difficult, the more ugly, the more insurmountable our situation seems, what do? You know, when things are a little difficult, we say, oh, God, please help, right? When things get really difficult, we fall on our knees, we fast, God, help me, right? There's nothing I can do. And so that's what, I really believe that's what God's doing in us. He's building into us through circumstance a desperation for him. And you know the reality is, do you know why it keeps happening to us over and over? It's because we don't learn the lesson. Here's my gift to you this morning from the years I've had to learn through this, right, is this. The reason why God keeps putting us into these dire situations is because oftentimes as Christians, we go from fully desperate for God to, I think I'm okay today. And do you know how we can tell? Sometimes at EMP, we don't really want to pray. Or we don't feel like coming to church. Or we don't feel like we need to hear a message. Right? There's something in our hearts that kind of, when things are going well, we don't have that desperation for God. And so why does God keep allowing these things to happen in our lives where we kind of go through God is really good to situations are difficult is he's teaching us whether things are good or things are bad, we are desperate for the Lord. There is no difference, right? Whether you're rich or you're poor, whether your job is going great or you're jobless, whether you're full of purpose or feeling directionless, our attitude in our heart should always be, Lord, I am desperate for you. And God, you know, and oftentimes, I mean, I definitely flip-flop between these things, and I have to be very wary of, Lord, I am desperate for you. Right? Sometimes in EMP, when PSAM preaches, right, it's great. I'm like super sleepy. The message is great. When it comes to prayer time afterwards, right, we pray through all that stuff. And, you know, the lights are dim, and I'm like, I could just go to sleep right now. I think I'm good. But it's in those moments that I say to myself, it's exactly, this feeling that I have is exactly why I need to pray. It's because I know, I feel like I don't need to pray. And I realize I have no desperation for God. And so I say, Lord, I got to do it. Otherwise, I don't want to have to go through another one of those, you know, situations, right, where I have to learn that desperation once again. And so why does God allow things to get so dire? It's because he's reminding us, rely on me, right? The next thing is not just rely on me and be desperate for me. He wants our temperament to be focused solely on our relationship with him and not circumstance. Right? Remember, God led Israel into this situation, and he allowed this to happen. Same with us, right? You know, I won't say who, but as I'm speaking, I kind of have this. There's been a few times lately where some people kind of come up to me, and I've prayed for them, and we've kind of walked through a process of where God wants them to be. And they make the decision, and they realize it was the perfect decision. And then, you know, like a few months later, a few weeks later, or however long, right, all of a sudden, it's although the situation was perfect for them, and this was exactly what they wanted, because of difficulty, all of a sudden, they're telling me, hey, I'm praying right now to get out of the situation. I'm praying right now for God to remove me from this. Or then they'll start asking, hey, am I doing something wrong? Is there something that I hear all these sort of things? And we go through this process again and say, but we heard right. We feel like God was saying this was the play, all these sort of things. And so they ask, what should I do? And I simply reply to them, right? Keep going, right? For the last message that God kind of gave you, keep doing what God's asked you to do. But ask God what he's doing in you. And oftentimes, when we walk through that process together, the reality comes through, and the message that they receive, the person receives, and or really the, you know, the light bulb moment is they say, oh, I'm relying on my circumstance to know how I'm doing with God rather than my actual relationship with God itself. And so one of the things that God really wants us to learn from these situations is, you know, one, it's about the God is showing what's going on in our hearts. Two, he's cultivating desperation. And three, he's teaching us not to rely on our circumstances, right? He's really giving us the opportunity to continually go back to him and to draw on that, you know, that sort of satisfaction with simply saying, God, you led me here, you're with me, and so I'll follow you. And then the last thing, you know, I really felt like God was saying is, why does God allow things to get so dire? It simply is this, right? The greater, the more insurmountable the situation, the greater the glory that God receives. Right? The greater, the harder the difficulty, the more your situation seems impossible, the more God gets the glory when he delivers you. Right? Because at the end of the day, how can we see, you know, and I mean, this is true in my life too. Sometimes when things aren't so hard and I kind of get through it, there's a part of me that kind of feels like, oh, that feels really good about being able to overcome. But when it's so difficult to the point where, you know, I feel like it's impossible, and then bang, God comes through, the only thing I can say is, oh God, you did it. Right? I can't even be prideful because I'm on my knees saying, God, I can't do this without you. And then, right? And so, why does God allow it? It's so he can get all the glory. And so, be encouraged, brothers and sisters. If you are going through a situation that is so dire, right, especially those God-led like Israel, don't worry, right? God is still with you. He's doing something in you. He's doing something with you. He's allowing you to learn more, a greater understanding of your relationship with him. And more importantly, he wants to deliver you in a greater way, right? There's a greater revelation that God wants to reveal to us. Right, and so let me ask Verity to come up. And so let's close our eyes in this way. First thing, let me ask us, are you desperate for the Lord today? Are you desperate for God? Is he everything you need? Or can you be satiated? Can we be satiated with circumstance? Because I think oftentimes it's easy for us to be satiated in this way, right? That's why, you know, that's why there's such a thing as shopaholic, right? It's we become satiated with buying things. We feel good when we buy something. Or workaholics, we feel good when we accomplish something or when we get to a certain position. Are you desperate for God today? And the second question I have for us is, where do you draw your satisfaction from and your validation? Because the reality is, I think one of the greatest things that God will try to train into us is this very point. Outside of him, we are nothing. Outside of grace, we are nothing. Outside of mercy, we are nothing. And it's because, ultimately, it's not that God is mean or he wants us to suffer. But he knows that it's in him that we have the greatest joy and the greatest peace. And so why does he allow these things to happen? It's to continually draw us to him. And so as Verity leads us in a song, let's cry out for him. Lord, I'm desperate for you. Lord, I may not feel it. God, I may be doing great right now. Everything in my life is smooth. But God, I am still desperate for you. Or if your life right now is going really difficult, even more reason to say, Lord, I'm desperate for you. But whatever the case, let's go to the Lord and let's really cry out for him. James 1, verse 2-4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Let's praise God for our trials, huh? Let's praise God that he loves us enough to process us, to reveal to us our hearts, and to heal us. Let's pray. pray for those in our community in need of healing of cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's pray for God's comfort over them, but especially the power of God to bring healing into their bodies. And so let's lift them up. Pray for those in our community in need of healing, but also salvation. Let's pray that God will reveal Jesus, His Son, in them. Let's pray that they'll have dreams and visions and whatever it takes for them to come to know the Lord. But let's pray for mercy over them as well. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for comfort and salvation. Pray for those in our community in need of non-cancer related healing. Let's pray for full and complete healing. Let's pray for God's power to fall on them as well. Let's pray for those in our community in need of work. Let's pray for God's providence over them, that He'll provide all that they need in this time. Let's also pray that in this time that God will really speak to them, prepare their hearts and minds for whatever it is He's doing. And so let's really pray for encouragement in the Spirit and comfort. So let's lift them up. Pray for our mission focus. Let's lift up China. Let's pray for SP Beijing and Pastor Hunsu and Chloe and his family. Let's pray for protection over them and covering, especially with February, China changing its laws. It's coming up. Let's really just pray for really just spiritual covering, that those who do not need to see or know just won't see and know. And so let's pray for them. If you can please pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark and the churches. Let's really lift them up. And please lift up the SPSH plant as well, and pray for, as we are praying through the timing and when and all these sort of things. Let's just pray that God will just speak to us as a church, and Steph and I as a family as well. And so let's pray. pray for our board. Let's pray for P-Sam, Kiwan, Bri, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, and Mon. Let's really lift them up. Also Ken and also Marcus. Let's pray for God's covering over them and their families. Let's pray that God just really gives them a lot of wisdom, that they'll be able to sift through all the things that the church needs to be able to get through, and that they'll be able to make decisions wisely and in a God-pleasing way. So let's lift them up. Pray for our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for young adults, especially for Single Life Workshop that's coming up. Let's really pray that many singles will come and join. Let's pray for men's ministry and women's ministry. Let's just pray that God moves powerfully in our discipleship ministries, and or our fellowship ministries, sorry, and let's really blesses the leaders and those that attend. Lastly, let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's really pray for a new building and the resources. Let's continue to lift up the prophetic words we've received about a benefactor and someone providing a building for us. In the meantime, let's continue to pray just for God to give us more direction as to what to do. Pray for the Vision Fund. Also for the third floor and sixth floor renovations that will be happening. And so let's lift up. Father, we thank you, God, just for really your processing, God, and your divine providence. Lord, we recognize that a lot of times that we don't always understand our situations, but we can know, Lord, that you are with us. We know that you are always with us, always doing something, God, in and around us. And so, Father, help us, God, to really just focus our thoughts and our hearts and our attention really on you. That, God, we are desperate for you. That, God, we are satisfied only by you. And so, Lord, we thank you, God. And Father, I just want to lift up my friends, God, that are going through really difficult times right now. And I pray, Lord, let the encouragement of Christ, God, really enter into their hearts. Father, remind them, Lord, that there is a good, not just a good process, God, but there's a good result, Lord, that you are preparing them for. And so, Lord, I really pray for steadfastness, God, and really just for the openness, God, to allow you to continue to process them in this way. And so, God, we thank you, Lord. And, Father, I just want to pray, God, for covering, especially, Lord. Lord, will you come against any attacks of the enemy, Lord? Cover their families, cover their workplaces, Lord. In Jesus' name. So let's end off with the Lord's Prayer. And so, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy kingdom. Be done your will on earth as it already has been done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great time of worship and prayer. We'll see you guys tomorrow.